I started to work on a message, and I still got the same message, but it's all messed up. I'm going to touch on this, that Caleb was a man of a different spirit. I want you to think about that. How many realize when things get tough, when you're going through things, when you have to make major decisions? I'm not talking what kind of pizza you're going to order after church. But when you have to make major decisions, it kind of shows what's in us. You know, somebody said, we're like a tube of toothpaste. When the squeeze is on, we know what's inside. Caleb, Joshua, and Moses were in a squeeze. My little grandson comes up and says, Grandpa, I want to give you a squeeze. He don't know how fragile I am. You'll get it. But Caleb, Joshua, and Moses were in a squeeze. I'm going to tell you why. Because the people didn't believe God. Let me share this with you. In verse 13 of Numbers, chapter 13, verse number 1, I want you to think about something. When the squeeze comes, many people panic. Some people get angry. Some people get frustrated. But here's the deal. In most of our situations, there doesn't really have to be a squeeze. Because all we really have to do is trust God, believe what He said, and do what He tells us to do. And the Lord spoke to Moses, chapter 13, verse 1. Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. Let's just stop there. Go spy out the land of Canaan, which I am what?
Giving.
What does it mean, giving?
It's yours.
It's not yours. Yeah, it's all you got to do is take it. Go and get it. How many really had to struggle to earn a gift that was given to you? Do you realize something? That when Satan was tempting Eve that she'd be like God, she was already like God. She was already there. God had already given her that. That Satan wanted her to eat of the forbidden fruit so she would have it. She already had it. The nature of God, the character of God. It was there. But God looks and says, the land that I am giving you. For God so loved the world that He what? He gave. We need to understand that God is a giver. That's why He likes us to give.
Amen.
It's not all about money, it's of ourselves. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. Seems like I read that somewhere. Acts chapter 3. How about this one? Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Turn there for a minute. Verse 32. If you got that one, Kurt, can you put that on the board? Romans 8:32. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things. Huh? Will he not also, what's this word? I need one of those lighter things like Kaufman has so I can just, if you're sleeping, I can shine it in your eye. No. Somebody better give me one. Freely give. Where'd that come from? Hello, God. Yeah. For some of you, it's a busy signal. Freely give. That hit me this morning. Freely give. I want you to think for a moment. What has God freely given you? Just start talking. What has God given you?
Presence. Perfect gift.
Salvation.
Salvation. What else?
Healing.
Healing.
Peace.
Faith. Peace. Faith. Righteousness. Grace. Mercy. Holiness.
Forgiveness.
Eternal life. Justification. Redemption. Gifts of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit. Power. Anointing. Love. I mean, How long can you keep on going? He's given us all. Now he's coming to his people, the nation of Israel, and he's saying, I want you to go in, spy out the land. He didn't say to bring back, you know, I want to know all the fears, I want to know all the worries, I want to know if you can do it or not. Just go spy out the land, come back, bring a report, bring some fruit, and let us know about this land that I'm giving you. He didn't plan on having a riot or a revolt. And so the spies go in, 12 of them, and they come back with a report. The land is good. The land has fruit. The land has this. The land has that. But when God is talking to you about doing something, it has to be a no-but zone. It comes to a place where we say, yes, God. And so we come to a place where they're going to the border of Canaan, and all of a sudden they stop. Because the people quit trusting God. I mean, it's not as if he abandoned them once they left Egypt. They had fought wars, they had been fed, they had been blessed. They had been given all kinds of things, and now all of a sudden, there's a promised land. There's your promise. We miss God's promise because we don't trust him at times. We miss God's promise because we look at the obstacles and the circumstances. And God is saying, hey, I'm giving you. All I'm asking you to do is take it. And so the men come back and say, we were grasshoppers in our own eyes and also in the eyes of the giants. The giants are there. I don't know if they were San Francisco giants or New York giants, but they were giants. Let me ask you a question. What in the world is a giant compared to God? You see, both Joshua and Caleb and the 10 spies had faith. Two of them had faith that God would give them the land. 10 of them had faith that the giants would kill them. I want you to think about that. They all had faith. 10 of them had more faith in the circumstances than they did in God. 2 of them had faith that God would do what he said, promised, and said, God is for us, let's go take it. You know the interesting part of that? 45 years later, Caleb had to fight the same giants that were there when they could have had it without fighting. God was going to give. God said, I give it to you. He never said you had to go fight for it. And 45 years later, Caleb's 85, and he comes back to Joshua and says, give me that land which was promised to me by Moses. Because I'm just as strong and I'm just as powerful as I was before. I want the land. I want the land. Because they did not go in. They died in the wilderness, all except Caleb and Joshua. And God says, Caleb is going in because he has a different spirit. I want you to think about that for a moment. What is a different spirit? A different spirit was not a spirit of fear. A different spirit was not a spirit of a lack of trust. A different spirit was faith in God and trust in God who told him to go in. A different spirit for us is a spirit that's anointed and touched and energized by the Holy Spirit. We are so used to being afraid. We are so used to adopting a spirit of this world and not realizing the mercy and the grace and the kindness and the love that God is pouring out upon us. And we walk and we live like everything's depending on us. Because when we're afraid, we're focusing on us. We're determining how we can do it or how what's going to happen to us or where do we go from here. But when we're trusting God, when we're having faith in God, we're dependent on what He can do. When I first heard the budget for IWT, and keep in mind, the performers, the ones that are doing the stuff they said last night, are volunteers. They raise their own funds. As I sat in that pastor's meeting, I thought, wow, how can that happen? But it did. And what is the value? I believe that I heard that a couple hundred people got saved in Webster or went forward. What is the value you can put on 400 people coming to Christ? Satan wants to make everything look like so big, so big, so big, and magnify everything in us so we live in fear. And when we're living in fear, we're not living in expectation. We're not walking this life out trusting God. We're trusting, what can I do? What can I produce? How is that going to happen? And we live that way after we receive Christ. that this life of God is all about me, is all on me, I have to do everything. And God says, wait a minute. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Do you start by faith and then the rest of the life is produced by works? No. It's grace. It's mercy. It's love. I was coming in one morning this week and I was tired, and I don't complain too much, but God can handle it. And I was coming in and I was thinking, oh, I got to do this. Oh, I got to get on my knees. Oh, I got to do the prayer. Oh, I got to read four chapters. Oh, I got to. And God says, who told you that? Who told you that? What are we trying to earn from God that He's already given us? We should want to spend time with God. We should want to pray. We should want to read the Word. We should want to get on our knees or our face before God. However it goes. But it should be something we want to do. It's not something we have to do. Now let me ask you something. How many was raised in a functional family? That means it's not dysfunctional. It's a family with a mom and dad that love kids and care about you and all the good stuff that parents do for their kids. You know, there were times that Dad would come to me and say, you know, if you want to earn a quarter, just carry in a little more word. But most of that was just my duty. I was a wood carrier and a water carrier. You know, the old pump, boom, 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 boom. You prayed the prime didn't go down, and then you got all muddy water. That's when I found out Dad could also be just. But your dad never told you, be part of this family, you have to do all this. It was just easier on my backside if I did. No, I know you kids never got a spanking, I can tell. You never needed one. Did you, Ben? But God doesn't sit up in heaven thinking of what He's going to do to us if we don't do what He's told us to do. He's not that way. It's just that life is simpler for us when we are obedient. And that we live in a different spirit than the world. Do you know what's happening in America? People look at our government, what we have of one, they look at our government and think that the church should run the same way. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. And it's never going to work. God is in charge. Period. And you should be thankful for that. You should be absolutely applauding God that He's wise enough to know that we'd mess it up. If you don't believe that, just watch the news. It's the most humorous thing you can watch. You don't need a comedian when you have Congress. I didn't say that, did I? But here we go. Here we go. We need to adopt the Spirit of God to function right now. It's not the spirit of the world. It's all we have. And I want you to understand that. Because America today is motivated by fear. If you don't do this, we're going to push grandma over the cliff. And if you don't do this, you won't have any health care. And if you don't do this, we won't have that. And if you don't do this, it's manipulation. God doesn't manipulate people. God invests in people, and people minister back to God. And that different spirit that was in Caleb from the time and before they went into the promised land was the same spirit that was in him when they went in the promised land, and he looked at Joshua and says, I want the mountain. I want the mountain. I want something desperate. It's not the mountain. I want this city. I want your city. I want this state. But we have to have a different spirit to get it. We can't be complacent. We can't be fearful. We can't live in panic. We can't doubt God. We come to a place where we say, God, you want this city more than I do. And all I'm going to do is listen to what you tell me, and I'm going to do what you tell me, and we're going to see it happen. I thought, as I walked down on the gym floor last night and saw two pastors who you would have never thought would even come, doing local link work, leading people to Christ. I sat there, and this morning, just absolutely amazed. Why? Because a group of people said, we're going to trust God to save our community. We're going to trust God to bring this about. We're going to trust God. The money or the fear or whatever it is not going to stop us from stepping into a place that we've never been before to see God move. And God brought in a group of people who were a catalyst to the moving of the Holy Spirit. And many of you were blessed last night. Many. Let's walk out of here today being men and women of God of a different spirit. Not looking and seeing everything that's wrong, seeing what God's doing in your town and our town and this town over there and over here. What is God doing? And thanking him that he cares about Sisseton, South Dakota. As I came down from the balcony, and I'm done, just a moment, I saw a businessman standing up to accept the Lord. I went over to a man from another church, and I said, do you want to go talk to so-and-so? It wasn't my job, but I could see that he was standing all in the back, and nobody was talking to him, And he said, yeah, I will. So he took his local league pad and went over there and started talking to him. And he came back a little bit later. He said, wow. He said, we're going to start meeting together. Just excited of what God was doing, not only in the youth, but in the older folk. I'm excited. I'm excited about Jesus Christ and what he's doing.